You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, produced by Shui Media, brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We are your friendly neighborhood podcast where we enjoy cold beverages, talking about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. My name is Michael Sizemore. I've been following and writing about the Cowboys for many years and currently contribute to Blogging the Boys. You may follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore, follow the podcast at Brews and the Boys, and follow us at Blogging the Boys. With me, as always, he's the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour, folks. My colleague at Blogging the Boys, the Arn Anderson to my shit-talking Ric Flair, the Walter Matthau to my Jack Lemmon, Mr. Tom Ryle.
Yay!
You may follow Tom on Twitter at Tom Ryle BTB. Let's get down to it. The Dallas Cowboys finished the season 10-6 after beating the New York Giants in one of the most entertaining games of the day for a quote-unquote meaningless game. The Cowboys win in the waning seconds of that game 36-35 over the New York Giants. They have swept the Giants, they swept the Eagles, and they went 1-1 against the Redskins. Tom, I got to ask you, what were your impressions of the game? The Cowboys get this victory, and Dak Prescott, everyone's talking about Dak Prescott after this one.
Yeah. If I'd sat down before the game and done a list from most likely to least likely things that I thought was going to happen in this game, most of the reality wouldn't even made it.
Yeah.
For it to be an offensive shootout that ended, you know, with both teams scoring in the 30s, mm-hmm. Dak Prescott taking every offensive snap, mm-hmm. Blake Jarwin having a breakout game and doing something that Jason Witten never did in his illustrious career, mm-hmm. the defense coming out and being kind of sloppy and just not as focused, Dak looking like Tony Romo. Him and Eli Manning just making some really unbeatable throws. I did not see this coming at all. And like you said, that's got to be the most fun, meaningless game I've watched in a long, long, long time.
Yeah, you're correct. And then what you said about it is so right. It reminded you of the old Eli Manning, Tony Romo games.
Yes.
Just because they were just back and forth, back and forth. And the Cowboys defense definitely looked like the Cowboys defense said, you know, this is going to be a game that they kind of came out there looking like they wanted to rest up a little bit and not, you know, get anybody hurt and stuff, you know. But at the same time, at the end of the game, it kind of seemed like DeMarcus Lawrence and all them like, okay, Dak wants to go win this, so let's go win it. Let's go beat this team because our offense wants to go win. So
they finally put together the stand on the final Giants possession and just shut it down.
Says more about the Giants than that. I was talking about this last night. You get the ball, the Giants get the last, you know, they should have had the last laugh. The Giants really should have had the last laugh because you get the ball in great field position at the end, mm-hmm. and all you really need for your Pro Bowl kicker is about 7 yards, and you can't, you literally throw incomplete pass after incomplete pass.
Mm-hmm.
That was just dumb to me.
Yeah, it was funny because in the middle of the game, Eli Manning looked really sharp. He went full Eli to start the game and to end the game.
Yeah, he went full Eli to start the game, throwing an interception within, you know, marching right down the field on a tired defense and throwing an interception in the end zone that just kind of, you know, Cheeto made a great play jumping up and grabbing that one. And then, you know, this second one, which I still think should have been an interception, it was called a fumble by Antoine Woods, but, they did credit DeMarcus Lawrence with that sack. So DeMarcus Lawrence has double-digit sacks. But also, just in general for the Cowboys after this win, 10-6, the Cowboys have had a winning record. This is the first three-year winning record for Jason Garrett as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pretty remarkable.
And as I've remarked, it feels so much more legit with 10 wins than 9.
It does. You know, it does.
Getting into the playoffs at 9-7, even though there have been some teams that have done that and done very well, that just feels like you snuck in. You get that 10th win, and all of a sudden you just belong. It's not a logical thing, because the only thing that matters is that you play ball in January.
Yes.
But it just feels that way. And I think emotional confidence, things like that, matter a lot more in the NFL than we sometimes give it credit. And the Cowboys have to have a ton of confidence in their offense. I mean, look at how little Dak Prescott had to work with. That offensive line was at times doing style impressions.
No, exactly. Right before the game, it's announced that Tyron Smith's sitting out, Zach Martin's sitting out. So they're your two best offensive linemen you have on a line that is already missing missing Travis Frederick. So you're dealing with Joe Looney there all year, which he's played admirably. And then you have, you know, your guards are Xavier Suafilo, who gets a little dinged up and goes out of the game for a little bit. So Adam Redmond comes in, and Connor Williams is a rookie. So then your starting tackles are Cameron Fleming and Lyle Collins. You literally only have one starter on your one, you know, opening day starter that you hope to have starting for you this season out there, and that's Lyle Collins. So they definitely struggled, and you don't have Ezekiel Elliott back there to block for you either, Dak. You know, so you're starting, but I go back to what you said, Tom, about just how it seemed important for this team, this game. Of course it was important, because if you listened all week long, Jason Garrett told you that every player that was healthy was going to play, and they really wanted to play. They kept their foot down after a 3-5 start, and they rattled off to 7-1 finish. I mean, why would you stop? You know, why would you stop now? Like they felt like they needed momentum. Dak Prescott said all week, I'm going to play. Like, I want to play this game.
Yeah. Yeah, the only guy they really dialed back who was there to start the game was DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yes.
He had very few snaps. It's like once he got the sack that put him over that threshold of 10, then it was like, okay, sit down, be ready for Seattle. But Dak was out there. He had no running game to speak of.
No. You know, 50 yards on 18 carries.
And that's a fascinating aspect of this game, because it completely took away the Dallas philosophy. You know, this team has built itself on the idea of a strong running game and funneling everything through Ezekiel Elliott. That's the focal point of the offense. That's gone. Now, all of a sudden, they had to come up with something different. And the feeling, I think, among most people was that Dak Prescott can't pick the team up and carry it passing the ball.
Oh.
Well, my gosh, he put on a just tremendous performance. He had some bad throws. He had a couple that should probably have been picked off. But, you know, he got a little bit of luck there. And he made, you know, that 4th-and-15 touchdown, and then to come back and nail the 2-point conversion, just it was like you're sitting there going like, did I really just see this?
No, exactly. And I think that's the biggest thing that came out of this game for me was Dak Prescott. And it goes back to, you know, with Dak Prescott, think about, you know, just the story of Dak, you know, 4th-round compensatory pick, you know, gets drafted, has the best rookie season of all quarterbacks, including the guys that traded up for Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, those guys. There were a lot of questions about them afterwards. Well, now there's a lot of questions about them again, those guys. Mm-hmm. And Dak Prescott, with this game, the way he played against a Giants team that came out there saying, hey, we want to end our season on a high note. We want to win this game. He came out there and he out-dueled Eli Manning without most of his three of the best players in football, period. You know, and he just out-dueled him. And it goes back to Dak has, you know, he had that 11-game stretch that everybody was so obsessed with, starting from last year in Week 9. You know, it was his 25th and 35th starts. In between his 25th and 35th starts, Dak Prescott had sunk into this person, this quarterback that nobody would have, like, even thought he would ever be that bad, that average, because he's only completing like 62% of his passes. He's 5-6 in those 11 games, 8 touchdowns to 11 interceptions, been sacked 33 times, and his passer rating was 74.2, Tom. So, but to you say that, like where he was from games 25 to 35 to where he is after that, from 36 to 48, he's 9-4. He's 69% completion, 3,387 passing yards. He's passing for over almost 8 yards a pass, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's been sacked more while he's gone through this. He's been sacked at least a half sack more per game, has a 101 passer rating, and 6 rushing touchdowns. Dak deserves a lot of credit for the reason for the season, Tom.
Yeah, and to see him put in arguably his best performance. Bob Sturm posits that the game that he lost against the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs, he actually may have played a better game in that. It was just Aaron freaking Rodgers doing his thing. But as far as the regular season, I think this was the best performance he's had because he did it under such duress.
Yes.
To get 120.2 passer rating,
no turnovers,
87 yards, and the Giants knew he had to throw because there's no Ezekiel Elliott out there.
Yeah, they sat back there, with the Jackrabbit and all of their defensive players. They sat back there and they were already in a game where they had the advantage on defense versus this offense, versus the Cowboys offense. But for him to go out there, you know, 387 yards, almost 400 yards, 27 completions of 44 throws, 4 touchdowns, no picks, passer rating 120.2. To have a game like that, Tom, right before the playoffs begin, I mean, that's got to be the ultimate reward for Dak Prescott because he's just been through the ringer all season long from everyone.
And he was completing long passes.
Oh, yes.
The Beasley touchdown was 32 yards. He had the 49-yarder to Allen Hurns. Once again, he's scrambling looking for something. He had the 39-yard catch and run to Blake Jarwin. Jarwin averaged 17 yards a catch on his 7 receptions, you know, so it was...
He was throwing it all over the yard. I mean, he was slinging it all over the football field.
Into spots that he would not attempt earlier this year. He was going that deep middle stuff. And that is in itself another, you know, just one thing. They've got that seam threat down the, you know, with the tight end where there's a part of the field that was basically just blocked off to the Cowboys, and suddenly it became wide open. You know, now if they can overcome what I think is a very strong tendency by Scott Linehan to fall back on his comfort zone and keep this stuff alive, this team suddenly has a lot. They have more paths open to them in the playoffs, ways to succeed.
I mean, that's true. Like, and that's what we started saying last week after the Tampa Bay game, you know, when the Cowboys offense just said, hey, we're going to do what we got to do to beat you, but we're not going to, you know, waste too much effort here trying to, like, you know, we're going to just give you, we're going to get you with what you give us, you know, basically. And you look at, this is what they've done all year, Tom. I've talked about this. They have won in the Cowboys have won in every single type of game you can think of. You want to talk about shootouts? Okay, well, this one was their third shootout. They had a shootout with the Detroit Lions. They won that. They had a shootout with the Eagles. They won that in overtime. Dak's other, like, phenomenal performance of the year, because he actually literally had two games within a game in that one. This is what they've done. And now you're talking about guys like Blake Jarwin stepping up. You got somebody over the middle of the field that people have to defend now. And that could be something huge for them going forward into the playoffs against a Seattle team that is, you know, they are playoff tested. They know what it is like in the playoffs. The Cowboys haven't been in the playoffs in you know, over a year, maybe 2 years, you know, 2 years since they've been to the playoffs. So you're sitting here and Dak's only got one of those playoff starts. So this team has been, the Cowboys, they've been battle tested all year. They've gone through a lot of different phases that you would go through in just one season of games.
Yeah, and it could have huge dividends for them. And it's great to see that they've now got the other weapons, because in addition to Jarwin, Cole Beasley was pretty dang good in this game. He had 94 yards on 6 receptions, you know, and of course had the, you know, 1 knee equals 2 feet touchdown reception.
Yeah, that was amazing play. Just
yes,
it was an amazing throw, but it was but it was also it was just a phenomenal catch by Cole Beasley, because I've been saying this since it happened, Tom, that if that was like Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup, the catch wouldn't have looked so phenomenal just because they have more length. They could have gotten it, but for 5'8" Cole Beasley to be the guy that you go for as you're scrambling, you know, to the right, or rolling out there to the right there, or to the left, I should say, and finding Cole Beasley there. I mean, that says a lot about what Dak feels about Cole Beasley, and that just says a lot about what Cole Beasley gives you in the big game when you need when you need it most.
Yeah, that reflects on some of the criticism that fans throw out, and some of the media about NFL players.
Yeah.
Consider what he did. He's scrambling for his life because the right side of the line had just completely caved in. He's trying, looking downfield, spots Beasley on what is not a plan play. This is strictly, okay, we got to make something happen. Finds him, gets the pass off on target without going too deep, you know. These are not normal human beings, folks. And Dak showed an amazing amount of talent in this game, and something that we, you know, that hopefully they can ride for a while.
You know, that's kind of like that. That's what everybody wants to know. You know, that is the money question. You know, is what does this mean for the Cowboys in the playoffs? Because I think everyone would tell you that, you know, a lot of folks out there probably still don't really want to trust this Cowboys team in the playoffs, and maybe they shouldn't. But what you have seen throughout this season, there's so much there that I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs, but man, am I proud of a lot of these players because of what they've been able to accomplish in a season that could have easily just gone the other way.
Could have easily gone terribly.
They could be one of those teams sitting here right now looking for new coaches and stuff right now.
Yeah, I just submitted an article that just brings up that point. That, you know, the Cowboys could easily have been there. And 8 weeks ago, most of us thought they were. There was a very real chance that this was going to be the final rodeo for Jason Garrett. That Jerry Jones was finally going to decide that Garrett just couldn't get them through. And yet he rallied this team. They went out and managed to get the 7 out of 8 wins, like you said, and come roaring back into the playoffs when everybody had the obituary written and ready to post.
Yeah, exactly. And now you're looking at a Cowboys team that in the 3 years, this is why I said it opens up questions about Carson Wentz and the Eagles. It opens up questions about the division, the Giants, where they're going with Eli Manning. They're crucifying Eli Manning right now. You know, there's lots of things to think about here, because now you're talking about, okay, well, Jason Garrett, since he has had Dak Prescott, he lost Zeke Elliott last year for 6 games. He lost a lot of other big-time players too, but his team is still winning despite that. Dak Prescott has 32 wins. Nobody but Tom Brady has more than that in the last 3 seasons, okay? Yeah. And the Cowboys are sitting here now, 2 division titles in 3 seasons. The Eagles, the Eagles got, you know, they got hot last year and they got the Super Bowl, and they ultimately, you know, have bragging rights for that. But What happens afterwards now? Now they're in a quarterback controversy. Now they're wondering, like, hey, our quarterback has hit IR the last two seasons in a row. But you know what Jason Garrett said about Dak Prescott at the end of that game? He said, you know, sometimes people get down on Prescott because, like, oh, he takes sacks. But one thing you have to understand when you have a mobile quarterback like that, there's a lot of good plays he makes, too. His heroics at the end of the game, certainly that was as good a play as I've ever seen him make, and Beasley made a big-time catch on the other end of it. And, and that's what I want people to understand. We're going to get to that point that I have right there after a quick break. And we're back. We're talking about Dak Prescott. The Cowboys win over the Giants, the 36-35 at the end, and what Prescott showed in a win where he did not have a lot of his top weapons or, you know, his protection there. Dak, you know, he's been getting a lot of grief this year, Tom, for the sacks that he takes, right? You know, 12, he's been sacked 56 times, all right? 56 times, that's only second to Deshaun Watson. But here's another thing about Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson. 12 of 16 games for Dak Prescott that he's played, he's been sacked three or more times.
Mm-hmm.
He's 7-5 in those games, and Deshaun Watson, the only one that is better at 8-5. So Dak's won, but Dak, what Deshaun Watson hasn't done, Dak has won four games this season where he's been sacked four or more times, including that seven sack game against the Saints. They won 13-10. Dak's passer rating in those games is 115.
Yeah.
That is 12 points higher than Deshaun Watson's 103 in his games that he's won. And you mentioned it. People, for the most of the three seasons that Dak's been in here since stepping in for Tony Romo, everyone's always talking about what he can't do, Tom. Like, oh, he can't win without Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, well, he has a 5-7-1 record without Zeke. He has a over 500 record without Zeke. He's got a winning record. He's also got 51 rushing yards of 18 carries against the Giants. That's terrible. He beat, and he can't beat people with his arm. Like, come on. Ask the Lions, the Eagles, and the Giants, because he completed 68% of his passes, had 1,100 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a 115 passer rating combined in those three games.
Yeah, and now we need to project that forward, because he has suddenly shown people that you've got to worry about. Just a week ago, I think the preparation by the Seahawks was going to be different. Now, all of a sudden, they've got things that are a lot higher on the list of worries about what Dak Prescott might do to them.
Yes.
That is very exciting. And then you add in that in setting all this up, the Cowboys elected to rest Zeke and elected to give Tyron Smith and Zach Martin a game to get healthier. Now you're rolling in to the first playoff game, and on the injury report today, two players do not participate. David Irving, why they haven't IR'd him and brought somebody up just in case they need some help somewhere from the practice squad, I don't know. But we know Irving's out, and I can't see any scenario where he would make the field, because he has not been working out and stuff. He's reported to just basically be staying away from the facility a lot of the time. You know, he's collecting a paycheck. And so he's just no longer a resource as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever count on David Irving ever playing a game with the Dallas Cowboys again.
The only other guy that didn't practice was Xavier Suafilo, and I think he will be back on the field before they're done with the practices, and will have a shot at being there. And even if he doesn't, Connor Williams wasn't great, but they're not completely lost in that situation if they have to insert him back at left guard. The other 51 players were all at least limited. you don't normally see that after the season. And so the Cowboys have exceptional health right now to go in and start the postseason. That's really great.
No, yeah, absolutely, Tom. I mean, where this team is now, you look at it, they have momentum now, you know, winning this last game. Again, I say, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, in the playoffs. I don't know, because, you know, everything's going to turn up, and maybe they play a valiant effort and don't get past the first round. But the way that they deserve to be there, Tom. Mm-hmm. They deserve to be there because they have played their asses off to get to this point, whenever a lot of things have not gone right for them. You know, Dak is still getting sacked more than he ever, like, was, taking some sacks, but he's not letting it affect him nearly as much as he used to.
Yeah, he's taken some sacks, but he gets hit a lot, but he doesn't seem to be getting hard hits.
No.
You know, which is, you know, that's a thin line to walk, but at least he seems to be coming out of it without any real threats to his health, because, you know, obviously the Cowboys are really in it deep if something happens to him. But now they're going in, starting the postseason campaign, and, you know, he's going to have some protection up front. You know, I think Ezekiel Elliott is just, well, he has come out and said he's chomping at the bit. He's ready to go. He wants to get out there. And it's going to be very interesting. You know, they dodged a bullet with Leighton Van Der Esch. He looks like he's fine. Yeah. Tyrone Crawford is going to be back, you know, and he's one of those undervalued pieces of the defense. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence got some rest, you know, so he's going to be ready to go. Randy Gregory's been coming on strong. This is a very different team in many ways than the team that lost to Seattle in week 3.
No, of course. Very, very, yes, absolutely. They're different, you know, and everything's different. Everything's different for him. You know, Amari Cooper is there, and yeah, he's not been, you know, doing a lot over the last few games. But you never can really tell unless you put on the tape to see what is mm-hmm. being done to him to take him away. And you see that other guys, you know, are like Blake Jarwin is getting open and having a 3-touchdown day over 100 yards, and Cole Beasley is too. Yeah, that's the benefit of having someone like Amari Cooper that these Giants DBs were trying to watch.
And Gallup is also making his contributions. You know, he had 50 yards in the game, so
yeah.
That's not to be sneezed at, you know.
And the two-point conversion, he just, I mean, he totally just fooled the Giants defensive backs in the short field, such a short little area.
Yeah.
You know, and he just made them look silly.
Yeah. That was, I remember when it happened, it was just like, wait, you know, it was just like, boom, oh, that happened. It's over. I hardly even saw it happen. It was just like all of a sudden all the Cowboys are celebrating.
Yeah. You know, and to me, like, I think that they are able to do things in spite of some of their misgivings. You know what I mean? Like I said, Dak is able to play well despite the fact that he is getting sacked. I mean, he has more wins. He has 6 victories where he's been sacked 4 or more times. That's more than anybody, more than anyone over the last several years. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have that. Yeah. Other players don't have that.
And late in the season, he's shown that ability to overcome those bad situations a lot more.
Yes. You know, the Cowboys, he'll fight till the end. He really does. Yeah. Even when he has a bad game like he did against the Eagles, he fights to the end.
Yeah, and they were, 11 for 17 on third down conversions? That's...
My gosh, that's just...
You know, and they got 75% in the red zone. That
75% in the red zone, and like you mentioned earlier, Tom, about the big plays, you know, 17 of Dak Prescott's passes traveled 10 or more yards. 17 of the 27 completed passes, that's 63%.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So I don't want to hear anybody talking about a dink and dunk guy.
Yeah, and I saw a passing chart, and I believe it was 4 of them were 20-plus yards in the air.
Wow. And you're doing that against a pretty decent secondary, too.
Yeah, the Giants' defense is nothing to sneeze at. You know, I mean, And Olivier Vernon was just manhandling Cam Fleming all game.
Oh, yes. And Dak, but Dak, instead of doing what Dak did last year in Atlanta and letting that just, you know, ruin him, he just started to roll out more. He started to get away from the pressure more. He started to, he had what you had said at the top of the show, Tom. He basically channeled Tony Romo.
Yeah.
and played that game like that.
And they overcame the slow start, too.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because there was a scoreless first quarter. They missed, Brett Mayer missed a short field goal and later, you know, bounced an extra point off the inside of the upright. Mm-hmm. They could have let this get to them, especially in a game where they could have just said, well, you know, didn't care. We just didn't try. That didn't happen. That kind of fire, I think, was something that Jason Garrett was really glad to see.
Yeah, the Cowboys they're taking on the Seahawks this week. That's a big, big, big game for both teams because Seattle is that one team that Dak Prescott has yet to be able to defeat. You know, he played them last year, got beat 21-12 on Christmas Eve. It was a terrible game. Mm-hmm. And then now he's got the Seattle Seahawks. He got beat earlier this year, 24-13 in that game. And now he's got him at home. It's going to be really, really hard because it is a playoff game. And we know that the Cowboys playoff atmosphere is fun at that stadium, but it's not necessarily home field advantage, though the Cowboys have won a lot.
The Cowboys have had some home field advantage.
Yes, they have. They have had some home. They're 7-1 at home this year.
Just listening on television, it seems like the crowd is getting into it more when they need to.
Yes, exactly. They're starting to learn how to do those things. I want to give you the last final words before we get out of here today, Tom. So I want to talk about I know I've been really obsessed with talking about Dak Prescott, but I just think it's amazing what he's been able to accomplish compared to what, you know, where he was, like digging himself, clawing himself out of such a poor, poor, deep, deep hole that he was in. Mm-hmm. So hear me out here. Dak, based on the first 8 games of this season that he played after the 28-14 loss to the Titans, Dak's projected finish was going to be 6-10. He would have completed 63% of his passes for 3,320 yards, 20 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and he would have had an 88.9 passer rating with 4 rushing touchdowns. Those numbers right there are very comparable to quarterbacks like Ryan Tannehill and Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. That is not a compliment.
No.
Here's where Dak went, though, in his last 8. Here's what he did. 6-10? Nope. 7-1. Completed 72% of his passes. Almost 8 yards per attempt, 2,225 yards in just the last 8 games, 278 yards a game, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and has a passer rating of 103.4. Dak murdered it. And if you look at just what his finish was compared to what his projection was, 9-4, about 70% completion rate, 3,387 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Dak really dug himself out. Now, Amari Cooper helps and stuff, but y'all got to remember that Dak started digging himself out before Amari Cooper was even there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not focus on what people can't do, you know, because Cole Beasley showed you 4th-and-15. Yeah, I got this. I'm going to put a knee down, you know? Yeah. Let's start focusing on what these guys can do. And when you look at just the remarkable turnaround that they've had, top to bottom, I mean, I think Dak Prescott's resurgence got to be among the top reasons that they're hosting a playoff game this week. So, and I'll let Tom, you take us out with your thoughts on the team overall this season and where we go from here.
Well, to me, it's all about where they go from here. And what they did in the second half of the season is, of course, far more important. It's what's going on. It's the current trend. It's where this team, the level this team has performed at for 8 weeks. You know, they had one blip against the Indianapolis Colts. You know, other than that, they found a way to win, whatever it took. And that, That's what you need in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so if there's any forecasting possible coming from that, this could be a very interesting month, you know, because, you know, it's got to be one game at a time, but, you know, they've got to get through this Saturday. But, you know, I think if they can win that game, then, you know, all of a sudden there's nobody in the field that Dallas needs to be afraid of.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody that they can't match up with and have a shot at. You know, and that's just really a remarkable thing to consider, given how this season started and how bad we thought it was going to wind up.
Yeah, and you know, quickly, because we have a few minutes here, Tom, I just want to ask you what your impression of Black Monday was in the NFL with all the firings and stuff, and just how the Cowboys are, you know, saved themselves from being one of those teams. And now they're in, you know, they're in the playoffs, but what's going on around them in the NFL and the landscape of the NFL? I just wanted to know what you thought.
It to me, it says that the teams are getting very impatient. Owners is where I put most of the blame for, because owners, you know, Jerry Jones is unique because he is a legitimate general manager. He actually is in there. He's involved. He understands what's going on. He is not going to scapegoat his head coach because he also looks at the roster. And that was one of the things that was being remarked about, is they're letting these coaches go, but they're keeping the GMs that built an absolute crap pile of a roster for them.
Yep.
And so they fire the head coach to come in and make a silk purse out of the sow's ear they've given them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you've got to build the roster. Then when you build a roster, you know, a good firing, I think, was in Cleveland because they've done a lot of work with the roster and Hugh Jackson didn't know what to do with it.
He was not getting it done. He was not getting it done with them. And they gave him a lot of resources, a lot of picks, too.
And that team could be on a real upswing now. And you know, you've got to see – you've got to look at the personnel first, because really, if you don't give a coach the players to work with, there are some coaches that can get a lot more out of their players than others, but still, there's just a certain limit. You know, you can only get so much out of what you've got. You've got to have a quarterback.
Yes.
You've got to have a line to put in front of him. You've got to have people that can defend the pass in the secondary. You've got to have these pieces, and you know, the greatest coach in the world can't do anything with people that just aren't good.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true, because I mean the NFL is funny to me. It's a funny little, you know, organization, funny whatever you want to call it, corporation. But because all these teams are just, they're so close to each other. You know, there really isn't, you know, mm-hmm. You might have records that are different, but look at the way the Giants were able to play the Cowboys in mm-hmm. this past game. The Giants, by all means, are considered one of the worst teams in football. Okay, well, worst teams in football doesn't necessarily mean you're terrible.
Yeah.
You know, because these teams are just not very far off from each other. But then you look around how everyone else, all these other teams, like you said, Tom, are, you know, the organization is too impatient. They move on mm-hmm. really quickly. They don't find the guy that they want. So they just, you know, start retreads and stuff like that, like Cleveland is looking at Packers coach. But, you know, you blame the guys that don't necessarily let you do all the grocery shopping.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of, to me, I think that's kind of dumb. And I feel like we have called Jason Garrett out a lot this year. We called him out a lot for sticking with Scott Linehan, and we still don't really care for Scott Linehan. You and I both are on that.
Nope.
But but at the same time, like I said, they're finding the team itself has to execute and win football games. And mm-hmm. if they didn't execute, if Jason Garrett can't make Dak Prescott a better quarterback. He can't mm-hmm. make Zeke Elliott find the hole. He can't make them be able to block better or anything.
Yeah.
So to the way they got to where they are, it's remarkable. And the way that the NFL had kind of shaken out over this year, in a year where all these playoff teams, none of them really scare you.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And don't forget, the Cowboys have one of the youngest rosters in the league and some incredible talents at a lot of positions.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's all we got for you guys today. The Cowboys get the win over the Giants. They finish the season 10-6. They'll host the Seattle Seahawks this Saturday night at 8. Is it 8 p.m. Eastern?
8:15? I believe 8:15, I think.
8:15 Eastern. Okay, so guys, your Dallas Cowboys came all the way back from 3-5 to 7-1 to finish out 10-6. What a year it has been for Dak Prescott. What a year it has been for the Dallas Cowboys. You know that we'll be back with you talking win, loss, whatever happens. We'll be talking to you about it. Follow him at Tom Ryle on Twitter. Follow me at Mr. Sizemore. Follow us at Bruising the Boys and at Blogging the Boys. And till next time, take care, Cowboys Nation. We'll see ya.
Bruising the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit bruiseandtheboys.com.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech. Why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.